Let's prepare our hearts and minds to worship the risen Lord this beautiful Sunday morning. Good morning. We're glad that you have decided to join us for worship this Easter Sunday morning. We are in the season of Easter in the Christian church. We are excited for the opportunity to gather in worship. If you're joining us via Facebook Live, thank you for joining us with your family and friends this morning, whether you are sitting on your couch at home, whether you're at work or wherever you are this morning. Thank you for joining us for a time of worship this morning. If you're joining us as you're listening on our website at www.fbc-elon.org, we are excited that you have decided to join us for worship this beautiful Sunday morning. It is the season of Easter. It is a season where we are continuing to worship and celebrate the risen Lord. And we are thankful for the opportunity to worship our Lord and Savior this morning. We are still in that season where we cannot gather in this place to worship in our sanctuary this morning, but we are excited that the body of Christ continues to worship where we are, because the church is not the building. The church is anywhere where two or more are gathered, and we are gathered across Alamance County this morning and hopefully across the state and maybe even outside this state. I know that we've been kind of keeping track of those that have been joining us, and it's been excited to see that we've had many who even are not even in this county that have been joining us for worship on Sunday mornings, and we're excited and thankful that you have decided to join us this day. So as we extend our welcome and our greeting to the First Baptist Elon family, any that have joined us for worship this morning, thank you. And we look forward to singing with you. We look forward to reading scripture with you. We look forward to praying with you this day and seeing how God is going to move, how the Holy Spirit is going to move in our time of worship this morning. We are excited to continue our sermon series this morning, how we're meeting Christ, finding Christ in unexpected places, and we hope that the Word will speak to you this morning. As we join for worship this day, I do want to recognize the chairman of our pastor search committee, Sally Farnham, who is going to join in our time of worship today, is going to kind of help lead in music, but she wants to come and give you an update. I know that with this time of pandemic that the search team has had to kind of put some things on hold, but they have been in discussion. So Sally's going to just come and give you a little update from our pastor search team this morning.
Good morning. Hope you all are doing well. As David said, our current situation has kind of put us in a place where we're not used to working, and it has slowed us down a little bit, but we have been making progress. I think the last time I spoke with the congregation, we had narrowed our applicants down to a small group, and we were calling and starting to do our first interviews. We have finished with those first interviews. But because of not being able to meet and being close to each other, we've kind of had to rethink how we move for this second interview process. But we are contacting folks this week and trying to set up either a meeting where we can meet and stay 6 feet apart, or possibly even use some of the new technologies that have come to our knowledge, Zoom and Google Hangouts and things like that. So we continue to look, pray, and we appreciate your support, prayers as we move forward, and hopefully we will soon have our new pastor. Thanks.
Thank you, Sally. We'll continue to keep Sally and the entire pastor search team in our prayers in the coming weeks and months. We know that with this new world that we're living in, things didn't go as planned, but we continue to keep them in our prayers as God continues to move in that team and God continues to prepare our church as we move forward in this search process. As we gather here for worship, we do gather and read the Word. And this morning, our opening scripture passage comes from Psalm 116, reading verses 1 through 4 and reading verses 12 through 19. I love the Lord, for He heard my voice. He heard my cry for mercy. Because He turned His ear to me, I will call on Him as long as I live. The cords of death untangled me. The anguish of the grave came over me. I was overcome by distress and sorrow. Then I called on the name of the Lord. Lord, save me. What shall I return to the Lord for all His goodness to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all His people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of the faithful servants. Truly I am your servant, Lord. I serve you just as my mother did. You have freed me from my chains. I will sacrifice a thank offering to you and call on the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all His people. In the courts of the house of the Lord, in your midst, Jerusalem, praise the Lord. We gather here lifting up praise to the Lord. So let us go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Loving God, we welcome your living presence in our midst today because you have risen. Share our joy and our thanks for the life that you give us every single day. Sing with us, dance among us, inspire us. May this hour of worship be pleasing to you. Shower us with your love. We lift this prayer in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, the risen Lord. Amen.
Our opening song this morning is one that's very familiar to you, Shout to the Lord.
My Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is none like you. All of my days I want to praise the wonders of your mighty love.
All-time favorites, songs of praise, shout to the Lord. That just gets me singing, so I apologize in advance if you heard me singing a little too loud that time. I joined the praise team this morning.
He's going to join the choir.
No, I'm not joining the choir. I promise you that. That would not be a good thing. If you would join with me this morning in the responsive reading, the words will be on the screen behind me, and our worship team is going to join me in reading this, and I will be reading the light print, and you as a congregation will be joining me in the bold print. Listening, God, with joy we celebrate your saving mercy. We rejoice and give thanks for God's involvement in our lives.
We give thanks for the blessings of God's grace-filled promises.
Comforting God, with joy we celebrate the way you bless us. You led us through the dark valley of suffering to life and hope.
We give thanks to God who hears and answers our prayers.
Holy God, in this, our sacred space of worship, we share in fellowship together with God and in the joy of God's presence.
Faithful God, we gather to worship and praise your holy name.
Amen. And that's why we have gathered to worship in this place. And it says in that responsive reading, in our sacred space of worship. And while we may not be gathered here in the sanctuary this morning, wherever you have gathered is that sacred space, because the Spirit is with us. The Spirit is with you. So wherever you are today, in your homes, in your living rooms, in your bedrooms, in your kitchens, wherever you are today is a sacred space. Let it be that sacred space this morning as we worship and sing with us, as we sing our song of praise, I Will Call Upon the Lord.
I will call upon the Lord. So shall I be saved from my enemies. rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. The Lord liveth, and blessed be the rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. The Lord liveth, and blessed be the rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted.
Amen. Powerful, powerful song. It's powerful words, I will call upon the Lord. And that's going to really tie into the sermon. It really ties into the prayer this morning. As many of us have been watching the news this week and the decisions that have been made by national and state officials and local officials this week, it's really been weighing heavy on my heart. The decisions that have had to be made, the decisions that local and state officials and national officials have had to be made, and we're living in a very difficult time. We're living in a time that none of us have been through, and it really has been weighing on me that. Oftentimes we are quick to criticize and quick to point fingers, especially if when decisions are made and we don't, we're not placed in that situation. So easy to say, well, I would have done it this way, or why did this person make this decision? Scripture tells us that we're called to pray for our leaders, whether we agree with them or not. We're called to pray for our leaders. And so this morning, in this time of prayer in our worship service, we're going to pray for our leaders. So I would ask that you bow your heads. And as we follow what Scripture says, we're called to pray for our leaders. And so let's pray for our local and state and national leaders this morning. So pray with me. Father God, we come to you this morning lifting up our leaders to you. Our local leaders, our state leaders, our national leaders, and our world leaders who are having to make difficult decisions in the midst of unprecedented time periods in our world that we've never had to face before. We come to you lifting up these leaders to you, recognizing that they can easily feel overwhelmed with burdens and events happening in our community, our state, our country, and our world. Strengthen each leader with resolve to do what is best for the people that they represent, beyond what may be best for themselves. Lord, please cause each leader to be steadfast, immovable, and always abounding in your work. May they not be distracted, discouraged, or doubtful with the headlines of the news about the virus. May they be a beacon and a voice of peace, reason, and hope to our community, to our state, and our nation in this time of question and despair. Grant them the wisdom to follow the path you are leading them down. Direct each leader to draw near to you, to your throne of grace, to meet the needs of your people. Father, you are our Father. You are our Abba Father, and I pray that you break the chains of fear. May each leader hear your still small voice inside of them, and may it speak louder so they can hear it clearly. Soften their hearts to follow that still small voice as you guide them to make the right decisions in a difficult time. May we as a people be quick to pray, turning to you for direction. Father, give each leader your wisdom, discernment, and guidance as they lead each community, our state, our nation, and the world through this pandemic. James 1:5 says, "If any of you lack wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him." May all of us and our leaders included be quick to turn to you for that wisdom. I pray that our world leaders would seek after wisdom and justice, mercy and truth, freedom, godly grace, and a desire to know you more and more. I pray that in a time when our nation is in such a time of need, and we see so many stories of heroes on the front lines emerging, that we can rally together around those stories and unite behind those times of good rather than rally and divide behind those stories of divide and disappointment. Because God, you bring us together. Because God, you are good. And that's what our focus should be on. And Father, that's why we come to you today. And Father, we come to you today lifting up those that lead us, whether we agree with them or not, and we pray for them. I lift this prayer. Our church lifts this prayer in the name of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord, who came and died for everyone, for all. Amen. Thank you, Sally and Bert. Let's again go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Father, as we come to a time where we again turn to your word and see how you are going to speak to us, Father, as we think back and reflect on this week where you have challenged us with opportunity, where we have maybe fallen short, we apologize and we confess those times where instead of turning and following your will, we may have turned the other way. Father, in those times where we have looked at our own desires rather than following your purpose, we apologize and recognize that we should have followed you. Father, maybe we came to this time of worship this morning and are already looking ahead to this week and the stresses and the obstacles that we face, or maybe we are reflecting back to this past week and the stresses and the obstacles that we had to overcome, and we have not prepared our hearts to see how the Spirit is going to move in this worship time, Father. We apologize to where we haven't been moved by the music or haven't been moved by the scriptures or haven't been prepared to lift up prayers to you. And for that, we apologize. But Father, we know that as we come to you in this moment and we confess those times where we have fallen short, that you are ready to hear our confession, to hear those times and to accept those and to offer forgiveness and to wipe the slate clean so we can start anew. And so in this time, in this moment of silence, in just these few moments, Father, we lift those confessions up to you right now. Thank you, Father, for hearing us. Thank you, Father, for being there. Thank you, Father, for wiping the slate clean, because we're ready. We're ready to hear you. We're ready. Amen. This morning, we continue our sermon series that we began last week, Finding Christ in Unexpected Places. The Christian church is still in the season of Easter, and we are still celebrating the risen Lord. And over these weeks, we are looking at some of the post-resurrection appearances of Jesus in the gospel stories in the New Testament. Now, these encounters with the disciples can shed light on how we approach some of the emotions that maybe that we're going through right now. Each experience with the disciples are unique, and they meet the disciples in a very special place. The disciples are going through different emotions, and we're looking at different gospel accounts, and each emotion that they're going through speaks to something maybe that we're going through in this time of uncertainty in the community that we're going through and what the world is going through. Last week we saw how Jesus appeared to the disciples behind locked doors in the Gospel of John, addressing the fear that they were going through by the community, and how when Jesus appeared to them, he brought peace. Initially, that's the first thing he said. He brought peace to them in this time of comfort. And maybe in the time of fear that we've been going through over the past couple months and what's been going on, that this peace that Jesus brings to us gives us this courage. And that's what he gave those disciples behind those locked doors. He gave them courage to go forth with a new mission. This morning, we're going to be looking at a different emotion from last week, the emotion of disappointment. Now, let me share a story with you as we begin, and I'm going to apologize, and I don't want you to think I'm not going to use the Bible this morning. This week, my glasses broke. I can't see anything. My bifocals broke. I am blind as a bat up here, so I have blown everything up on sheets of paper, so it's really big. So I am going to put my Bible off to the side. Doesn't mean I'm not going to use it, but I have blown everything up really, really big so I can see. So I have been struggling this week being able to see everything. So my sermon is about eight or nine pages long. So as I throw pages aside, don't think I've got a really, really long sermon. But I can read everything in big print. So I'm struggling this morning. But as we go along, don't think I'm not reading the Bible this morning. It's here, but it's here so I can see it. But this morning, I want to start with a story as we begin, and something that maybe we can deal with sometime in disappointment. So, one morning, a wife woke up, and she said to her husband, "Honey, I just had a dream that you bought me a brand new gold necklace. What do you think it means?" I see Sally shooting a look back at John right now. Of the five people that are in here, my only couple, and Sally shooting a look at John. Yes, I called y'all out. He said, "I don't know, but Valentine's Day is coming soon. Tuesday you'll know," he replied. A few nights later, she again woke up having a dream. "This time, I dreamed you gave me a brand new pearl necklace. What do you think it means?" "You'll know Tuesday," he replied. The night before Valentine's Day, she again woke up telling him about her dream. "This time I dreamed that you bought me a brand new diamond necklace. What do you think it means?" "Honey, be patient. You'll know tonight," he said. That evening, the husband came home with a package in hand. And as he entered her house, he gave it to his wife, delighted. She opened it slowly, and as she opened the box, she found a book inside. And the book was titled, "How to Interpret Dreams." John, don't get any ideas. We already have it. Disappointment can be a powerful emotion in a person's life. As I've watched the news and followed social media over the past few weeks, the headlines and the posts have been riddled with this emotion. From both sides of the aisle, individuals have been disappointed by decisions made by local, state, or national leadership in regards to how to handle the COVID-19 pandemic. Have you think about it? Have you heard the stories? You've seen the posts? Disappointment over disappointment. I've heard disappointment when talking to church members, family members, or members of our community who have been unable to see or visit or connect with loved ones. I have felt and heard disappointment in talking with fellow clergy from our community or across the state, even out of state, when discussing the inability to gather in places of worship like our local congregation where we sit here today. Sometimes we can allow disappointment to overwhelm us, to consume us, and even blind us to what the risen Lord may be challenging us to do. Let me repeat that. Sometimes we can allow disappointment to overwhelm us, consume us, and even blind us to what the risen Lord may be challenging us to do. This morning, we're going to see how two disciples found Christ, and I'm going to repeat that, to disappointing disappointed disciples found Christ on the unexpected road to Emmaus, and how we can find Christ on that same road, a road of disappointment that can lead to a rekindled heart of purpose and passion. So if you have your Bibles with me, I want you to join with me in reading our scripture this morning. This morning we're going to be reading from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, verses 13 through 35. And John's going to pull up the scripture passage on the screen behind me, so you're welcome to join with me in reading that scripture. It'll be from the New International Version. You can read from whatever translation you have at home with me. And as we read the scripture this morning, we've been jumping around a little bit in our scripture passages, so I want you to kind of catch you up to how each gospel account depicts the resurrection. On Easter Sunday morning, Resurrection Sunday morning, we read from the Gospel of John. Last week's passage came from the Gospel of John, so we kind of captured that picture. I'm sorry, Resurrection Sunday morning, we read from the Gospel of Matthew. But in from this passage from the Gospel of Luke, understanding what happened on Resurrection Sunday morning, a group of women went to the tomb on Resurrection Sunday morning to prepare the body of Jesus with spices. And when they arrived at the tomb, they found the stone rolled away and the body was gone. They went in the tomb to see if the body was there. Jesus was gone. And so when they came out, two angelic figures appeared to the women and announced to them that Jesus was not there, that Jesus had risen. So as immediately the women that had gathered there returned to the disciples, returned to the 11, and told them that Jesus was not there. The angelic figures had appeared to them and said that Jesus had risen. And immediately the disciples did not believe them, except for Peter, who immediately ran to the tomb to see what was going on. Peter entered the tomb. Jesus was not there, and he was amazed. And that brings us to our passage for today, Luke chapter 24, reading verses 13 through 35. Now that same day, the two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus." He said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow to believe that all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself." As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going farther. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It is true. The Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told them what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. Now, we're going to ask the same three questions we asked last week in our sermon this morning when we're talking about finding Christ in unexpected places. The first question we need to ask is this: who are we without the risen Lord? Our story begins with two followers of Christ, but we are only given the name of one, Cleopas, and another traveler with Cleopas, who are traveling to Emmaus from Jerusalem, which is approximately 7 miles away from Jerusalem. Now, these are followers of Christ. These were disciples of Christ. They were not two of the 11, but they're disciples, they're followers. There was a group of followers that followed Jesus that were close to the 11. And these are two of those individuals that were part of them. The Passover feast was over, and many were returning home from Jerusalem, but this says something about the state of mind about that close group of followers of Jesus after Jesus died. Without the risen Lord, the group dynamic is starting to disperse. Jesus had just died 3 days before, and instead of staying together, even on Resurrection Sunday, this is the Sunday that Jesus rose from the tomb, 3 days later, these disciples, these close followers of Jesus, are starting to return home. Why? Why 3 days later are the close followers of Jesus starting to return home? This is only 3 days later. Had they already given up on their mission? What was Cleopas and this other follower of Jesus going to Emmaus for? Now, we're not told. Passover was over, but we're not told. What we are told from this passage is they were disappointed. They were sad. Verse 14, they were talking about all the things that had taken place. Verse 17, after Jesus asked what they are talking about, they stood still looking sad. Cleopas and the other follower recount to Jesus who they thought Jesus was. Who did they think Jesus was? Well, he was a Nazarene. He was a prophet and mighty in deed and word. They thought Jesus was the one who was going to redeem Israel. Now, it's the third day. The women reported that they found him missing. An angelic proclamation had happened. Our friends can't find him, but he's nowhere to be found. We have two of the closest followers of Jesus who are already returning to Emmaus away from the rest of the group of followers. They were disappointed. Two of the closest followers of Jesus, 3 days after his death, are disappointed. You can imagine the disappointment and sadness that was dripping off every word that comes off of their lips. Their expectations of who Jesus was supposed to be led to their utter disappointment. Jesus was supposed to challenge the Jewish leadership. He was not supposed to be arrested and killed by them. Jesus was supposed to restore Israel to its rightful throne, not be pushed down once again by the Roman rule. Jesus was supposed to lead them, point them in a direction of hope, not leave them leaderless to head back home to where they had been just a couple years before. Now their leader and friend was dead and gone. Sadness, disappointment. Their group of friends that they had been journeying with for some significant period of time was probably going to be disbanded. Disappointment, sadness. Without the risen Lord, these two followers of Jesus were lost and confused. They were journeying on a road to Emmaus, but let's be honest, they had no idea where they were going or what they were doing. Without the risen Lord, these two disciples were living in a world of disappointment. Without the risen Lord, we are like these two disciples. Without the risen Lord, we are on that road of disappointment. Disappointment we might be feeling right now with the circumstances in our life. Whether there are things that we can control or whether there's things that we can't control. And sometimes those circumstances can be overwhelming. The disciples on the road to Emmaus were overwhelmed and they were trying to escape. Isn't that how we try to do with our lives sometimes? Isn't that what we try to do sometimes when we try to put ourselves in control? Cleopas and this disciple are the ones that put themselves on the road to Emmaus. Their control was to escape. Sometimes that's what we do. Without the risen Lord, that's how disappointment and sadness can feel. But, just like last week, that's not the end of the story. So that brings us to the second question. What does the risen Lord have to offer us? The power of the Emmaus story is how Jesus approaches these two traveling disciples. The initial question from Jesus stops the travelers in their tracks. What are you discussing today together as you walk along? The question allows the travelers to assume they know more about the events that just took place in Jerusalem than the risen Lord does. Isn't that ironic? That they know more about the risen Lord than the risen Lord does. Don't we like to put ourselves in those shoes? That we know more about God and Jesus than God or Jesus does. Because we like to be in control. And that's how Jesus approached the two on the road to Emmaus. Let's put the ball in their court, using a sports analogy. Let's let them be in control for a few minutes. What are you talking about? And so the disciples go on to describe who they saw Jesus is. They saw the risen Lord as the Nazarene, the prophet. The one they thought was going to restore Israel, but obviously he didn't do it the way they thought it was going to be done, so maybe he's not who they originally thought he was. The reason why Jesus approached them that way is so Jesus could fill in the gaps. How many times in our Christian walk does God put individuals, experiences, books, sermons, movies, TV shows, Bible studies, you name it, in our lives to fill in the gaps when we need it? How many times do we hear a quote or do we hear someone say something or we run into somebody when just that moment in our lives when we need it? That's God filling in the gap. That's what Jesus did on the road to Emmaus. He filled in the gaps for these two disciples. My hope is that you have, or I'm pretty sure that God does, whether you realize it or not, that God fills in the gap for you on a daily or weekly basis, even in a pandemic world. In the ultimate twist of irony, they end their story by saying it was the third day. And Peter and some of the others who went to the tomb couldn't even find Jesus. He wasn't there. Isn't it ironic? I think there was a song, "Isn't It Ironic?" Showing my musical taste there for a second. However, they were in the presence of the risen Lord on the third day. And they said, well, Peter couldn't find him. And they were staring the risen Lord in his face. Jesus fills in the gap for the two disciples to explain to them what they were missing, and as they arrived in Emmaus, he prepares to move on. Notice this in Scripture, and if you are one of that jots things in your Bible, jot that down. Jesus moves ahead. Jesus is preparing to move ahead of the disciples. This is something that we oftentimes miss in this story. Because Jesus doesn't force himself on the disciples. He does this for a reason. Jesus did not want to force himself. He never forces himself on anyone. He never forces faith on anyone. It is a decision that we have to come to. It is by our choice. His words encourage more time together. So, by his filling in the gaps, it encouraged the disciples to extend that invitation. Notice that. So a dinner and lodging invitation followed. And then, at the breaking of the bread around the table, their eyes were opened, and the risen Lord was in their midst. And then he was gone. You know, what did the risen Lord offer to the disciples? What are the offerings that he offered that trip on the Emmaus Road? The first thing he offered was clarity. Clarity. Their disappointment in who they thought Jesus was supposed to be had led them down a road of disappointment. Hear that again. Their disappointment in who they thought Jesus was supposed to be had led them down a road of disappointment. How many times can we state that? Who we think God should be, or who we think God should be acting, how many times does that lead us to disappointment? Why didn't God do this? Or why didn't God provide that? Or why would God do something like this? Has anybody asked that question over the last couple months? That only leads to disappointment. Literally, it had them lead them down a road to Emmaus, away from a group of followers and support network, away from a group of people who had supported them for years. The risen Lord met them where they were and provided clarity to them. He filled in the gaps of their missing story about who the Messiah should be. It was a divine plan, not a human plan. See, their plan of the Messiah was a human plan, an overthrow. The divine plan was a new world, not a new throne. Sometimes God's plan is beyond our understanding. That's the first offering, clarity. The risen Lord then offered them an opportunity to step out in faith. As the disciples journeyed to Emmaus, their journey was ending, they had an opportunity to just to keep going, to stop at Emmaus, let Jesus keep walking. They didn't know it was Jesus at the time. Just to let this stranger keep walking, move ahead, and they could still grovel in their disappointment. Isn't that what we do sometimes? We grovel in our disappointment. They could carry this new knowledge about who Jesus was from the stranger, live with that, still live in their disappointment. Or they had the opportunity to step out in faith, invite him to stay with them, and in inviting them to stay with them, they had an opportunity to start living a new life, and that's what they did. The disciples took the opportunity, invited him to stay, and all of a sudden they got to meet the risen Lord. The risen Lord offered them an opportunity to step out, and they did. And the third offering that the risen Lord offered them is he offered them a rekindled heart and a new mission. As Jesus was teaching the travelers in verse 32, they said, were not our hearts burning as he was teaching us? Burning. The disciples felt it in his teaching. They saw it with their own eyes around the table as the bread was broken, and they were willing to take that message back to the disciples immediately after Jesus vanished. That's passion. Passion for a new mission that God had placed before them. Clarity, opportunity, and a rekindled heart. The risen Lord offers us the same thing. The same thing when we're living in a time of disappointment and sadness. He meets us where we are, even when we don't expect Him to. He offers us clarity in the midst of the situation, even when we feel that the situation is overwhelming, even when we feel like we are in the situation is out of our control. Maybe God has a divine plan that is greater than my plan that I have concocted. I had a seminary professor say that an eye doctor may tell me, and this is funny since I can't see anything this morning, I had a seminary professor say that an eye doctor may tell us that we have 20/20 vision, but guess who created the eye? After He provides clarity in the midst of disappointment, He will then provide the opportunity to step out in faith. Sometimes it is the challenge to step out in faith, but we do not do it alone. The risen Lord is right there with us. Hopefully, we are surrounded by a group of fellow believers that is supporting us in that step. Cleopas wasn't alone. He had that disciple with us. Those two disciples weren't alone very long. That night, they went back to that group of fellow believers that they had traveled with for years. Who are you surrounded by this morning? Hopefully, family and friends. Hopefully, in a short period of time, we'll be gathered right back here. If you're watching this alone and you're not surrounded by a fellow group of believers, when this pandemic is over, come here, because you'll be surrounded by people who will support you, love you, and support you at all. If you're not at a church home, if you're out of state, find a church home that will support you, because that's what you need. If we are following His purpose and plan for us, the risen Lord will rekindle our passion for Him and His mission every day. He provides that opportunity to step out in faith, and then He will rekindle that passion on a daily basis. The initial disappointment will pale in comparison to the fire that will burn for the new purpose that is rooted in Him. That brings us to our last question. What are we able to do with the risen Lord's offering? What do the disciples do with the Lord's offering? The two disciples took the offering of the risen Lord, and immediately, they didn't sleep on it. They didn't wait a couple days in vacation in Emmaus and then go back to the disciples and, oh, guess what? Guess who we saw? It was a great time. We had a meal with them. It was wonderful. They immediately took the good news back to the disciples back in Jerusalem. The Gospel of Luke says they returned the very hour to Jerusalem. It was dark. It was nighttime. You didn't travel at nighttime back then. There wasn't any street lights. There wasn't any flashlights. They didn't jump in their car and turn the lights on and travel that way. 7 miles in our day wouldn't take you 10 minutes. But back then, it took hours. But they went at night immediately back to Jerusalem. Can you imagine how their discussion went on the road back to Jerusalem from Emmaus? It was a little bit different than a trip from Jerusalem to Emmaus, how that discussion went. Can you imagine as they passed that place on the road where Jesus first appeared to them? Can you imagine they probably elbowed each other and said, man, why did you recognize that it was Jesus? You know, I can imagine if I was one of those people, I would have blamed my glasses that I couldn't see anything. It was because I didn't have my glasses. You should have recognized him. Cleopas, it's y'all your fault. Or can you imagine, like, on that road where they were about that point where Jesus was about to move ahead of them, and can you imagine they said, man, I'm sure glad we invited him to stay with us that night and stay with us for dinner. Can you imagine what a big mistake it would have been if we hadn't invited them to stay? That was a completely different conversation. That's moving off topic there for a second there. But anyway, the point is this. The disciples' disappointment in who they felt the Messiah should be allowed the risen Lord to clarify and show what a true Messiah would be in a more powerful, sacrificial, and loving way. This new vision of sacrifice and love reshaped for these two disciples what their ministry of sharing the good news would look like. You see, they had an idea of what their ministry was before Jesus had died. They were going to restore Israel. They were going to kick out the Jewish leadership. Their job was to put Jesus on the throne again, like it was supposed to be. But after the risen Lord appeared to them and He filled in the gaps of what the Messiah was going to be, they had a new plan. They had a new ministry of what the good news looked like. It was sacrifice. It was love. And this was going to be different. It was going to be scary. It would be challenging, but they knew that they were not going to be alone, because the risen Lord was going to be with them. The Spirit was going to be with them. And He was going to continue to rekindle their hearts for this new mission and this new way. And they weren't going to be alone, because they were going back to their brothers and their sisters and going to tell them that the risen Lord was there. This is what happened. And this is why we are here today. This is why the church exists today, because they knew what this new mission was. Now, when we face disappointment, we are provided the same offerings that the disciples were provided at Emmaus. The risen Lord provides clarity to a difficult situation. Even providing a new way of looking at something, filling in the gaps when things are incomplete. Through clarity, He provides the opportunity to step out on faith. And it takes that. It takes being willing to step out. It's not going to be following the way the stream flows. Sometimes it means going against the grain. Sometimes it means being willing to go against what we feel like we should be doing, because that's what our human mind says, but the divine mind says do something different. But we also got to remember, we're not going to be alone. God's going to surround us with believers who are going to step there with us, and He's going to be with us. He also provides that safety net, the church to be with us. And when we step out on faith, the church is going to be with us every step of the way. And He will rekindle our hearts every single day, every single week, for doing the new mission for Him. Now, in closing, I don't know what disappointment you are facing today. For the disciples on the Emmaus Road, it was their expectation of Jesus, His death, the loss of direction of what they were supposed to be doing. But when the risen Lord met them on the road and revealed Himself at the table, He gave them clarity, He gave them opportunity, and He rekindled their heart with a new purpose and a new mission. If your disappointment this morning is the state of the world with the pandemic, if you're struggling with finances, decisions about school and relationship struggles or health diagnosis, family turmoil, workplace stresses, spiritual battles or depression or some unnamed struggle that I haven't even mentioned this morning, because disappointment and sadness can be great. Whatever your Emmaus Road journey is this day, you are not walking on that road by yourself. He is already walking beside you. You just haven't recognized it yet. And He is ready to offer you clarity. He is ready to challenge you and provide that opportunity for you to step out in faith. And He's ready to rekindle your heart with a new passion and a new mission, whatever it may be. He's ready to help you face that disappointment and sadness this morning. Are you ready to let Him do that this morning? Let the Spirit work in you this day. Christ is ready to meet you this morning in that unexpected place, in that place of disappointment. Are you ready to let Him meet you? Let us pray. Father, as we come to You in this time of uncertainty, if we're struggling with disappointment, we know that it can be overwhelming. But just as the risen Lord met the disciples on that road many years ago, You meet us where we are, and You provide us that opportunity. You bring us clarity and opportunity and a rekindled heart and mission. And Father, as we reflect on that today, maybe we need to go to our knees and lift that disappointment up to You. And Father, if that's what you're challenging us to do, to reshape the way we look at things and reshape that disappointment and give that disappointment to you, Father, I just challenge us to do that today. Don't carry it with us beyond this point, beyond this time of worship this day. And Father, if we need to find someone to talk to, we're here at First Baptist Elon to provide that opportunity. Father, may we continue to find the risen Lord in those unexpected places of disappointment and sadness, and may you continue to work and move through us in those times of emotion. Father, continue to speak to us. Continue to move in us this day. In the Lord's name we pray. Amen.
Our closing hymn today is Open Our Eyes, Lord.
Open our eyes, Lord. We want to see Jesus, to reach out and touch Him and say that we
whatever road you are on this day, know that Christ is walking with you. You're not walking alone. As we leave this day, may we know that we are worshiping and walking with the risen Lord. Let us go in peace.